There's a new superintendent at the Springfield Armory National Historic Site in Massachusetts. Kelly Fellner, a longtime employee of the National Park Service, took over at the Springfield Park on April 1st. She's also administrator of the Coltsville National Historical Park in Hartford, Connecticut. During a visit to the Springfield Army Museum, WAMC's Pioneer Valley Bureau Chief Paul Tuthill spoke with Fellner.
I'm just really looking forward to the future. It's been great so far. There's a great staff here. I would say if people have not been here to the Springfield Armory, to definitely, take advantage of it. And it's been a really welcoming community, and so I'm excited about that.
And you've had, if I'm not mistaken, about a 30-year career with the Park Service. What were some of the highlights prior to coming to Western New England?
Yeah, that's the highlights. Every park that I've been at has been a new discovery, and I was sort of amazed at the kinds of experiences I've been able to have. I think some of my highlights, when I worked at the Boston Harbor Islands, it was the beginning of that park. It's a recreation area and a partnership park along with state and federal and local organizations. And to be able to be a part of building a visitor program and camping program on the island and connecting young people who are from Boston who had no idea they, one, lived on the harbor, two, that they had a national park in their backyard. And so we built some pretty amazing youth programs that allowed these young people to discover careers for themselves.
Has your experience always been in parks that are in urban settings?
Primarily, yeah. Even my last park that I worked at, Fire Island National Seashore, even though it's a barrier island 5 miles off of Long Island, it's, 50 miles within the metropolis of New York City. And so you could feel both really remote and far away in a designated wilderness area and also surrounded by urban environment.
Because people don't think of national parks in urban settings, though, do they? I mean, when people think of national parks, they think of, I guess, Yellowstone.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I hope that that's changing a little bit. I think a few years ago when we celebrated our centennial in 2016, that was a real push to help people understand the breadth of national parks, even historic sites. Many of the parks, more than half of the parks in the country are around history and historic sites.
So what are your initial impressions of Springfield?
I'm having this kind of really wonderful reawakening. Having worked in the Boston area for many years, I knew Springfield. I knew the story. I had friends out here. I came out to go hiking. Now it's this, I feel like the city's in this renaissance. I'd certainly heard that before I got here, and now I'm seeing it. And I think there's a lot of excitement.
And the park and the armory, what are your plans here?
To continue a lot of the preservation work that has been started, both the park itself and, of course, sitting on the campus of the Technical Community College is a great opportunity. And the relationship with STIC has been really great. They just completed, along with the state of Massachusetts, a huge renovation project of what's called Building 19, and which is actually up for a Preservation People's Choice Award in Massachusetts. And so continuing that kind of work around the preservation of the existing buildings and also just heightening people's awareness of the history.
Is there a lot of work to be done with preserving buildings? You mentioned the big prize. I mean, that was a decades-long effort to get the Building 19 project financed and finished. Do you face similar challenges with some of the other older buildings here on the grounds?
Yeah, I think the reality in our line of work with cultural resources and preserving buildings is it's constant. And so being able to let folks know what are the existing needs that we have in the National Park Service, we called it deferred maintenance. What are the things that we've been moving along, but we really need huge stabilization work. We're about to do on this building repointing on the outside. Again, that's kind of work that just needs to continue on. And so that's part of my job, is to help raise that awareness of the continuing efforts of ongoing preservation.
As far as the museum portion of this goes, which, as you mentioned, we're in the museum section here with the different armaments around us. How frequently do you change the displays, and are they freshened for, you know, repeat visitors? And I'll talk a little bit about the what goes into that, because I know you have a tremendous storage of weapons here, and only a small fraction of them are actually on display, right?
The staff here has been working over the last few years, in addition to the permanent exhibits we have here, of using some of the space to have ongoing rotating exhibits. So the curator and the visitor services staff have been pretty creative about looking at new ways of exhibiting things, not just of the armaments, but also of the archives. There's a really rich collection of photographs, which only a very small portion are on exhibit here. So, you know, being able to bring that out, because the photographs will show not just the buildings, but also the people who worked here, the scientists, the designers, the engineers. So to bring that part of the story to life, I think is really exciting.
How do you do visitor wise here? What do you do on an annual basis in terms of visitation, and are you looking to increase that? Take advantage of some of the cultural and tourism renaissance that Springfield's experiencing, in part because of the new casino.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. I'm still getting to know and eager to find out more about sort of the museum community in general. I had a chance to go over to one of the special events at the Springfield Museums, the floral displays, and there were so many people there, and it was so exciting. And I hope that through some of the mapping, the markers along the city from the MGM area up here, that really encourages people to come here. I see there's a new bike share program. So I hope that helps us. I mean, we're around 20,000 a year, but I think we also could do, we may do more special events, you know, or working collaboratively with some of the museums as we do now to talk about other parts of the history.
Now, you're also the superintendent at Coltsville in Hartford. Is it unusual to have that kind of dual role in the Park Service?
Not as unusual anymore. Yeah, there's definitely, I think for here, it was a logical outcome when Coltsville came online, was administered, that we would be able to bring this story into a larger context. So the story of innovation. When I was down for the National Council of Public History Conference a couple weeks ago in Hartford, a number of the scholars were talking about this area as the Silicon Valley of the 19th century. So, you know, there was a lot going on in terms of, with the Colt factory, one thing I've learned is that, you know, he was really perfecting, it was about, his primary product was the revolver, was the weapon. But then he knew that was going to ebb and flow in terms of the market. So they were making bicycles, wicker furniture, all kinds of other things, because it was about precision manufacturing. And so that is pretty interesting, that what he was really doing was developing this intricate precision technology.
And now that's a national historic site, and it's going to become a national park, correct? It's in that process.
Yeah. So it'll be. I mean, we have a lot of different terms for in the National Park Service, but it'll be a national historical park, because the Park Service's footprint will only be very small in terms of two buildings, which hasn't even happened yet. We're still going through the actual establishment, which land transfer is part of that. But it is within this historic district. And so it's going to really rely on all of the different partners and developers who are in that neighborhood, who were all the ones who were trying to support having a National Historical Park there anyway. So they're going to be crucial to the future.
And what's the time frame for that development?
Really don't have a time frame. It's when it happens. We have to be patient, but hopefully soon.
In the meantime, the nicer weather is coming, and that will certainly, I expect, will encourage people to visit both the sites in Springfield and in Hartford. So what will the visiting hours be once we get past Memorial Day? You're open 7 days a week then, right?
Yeah, here we're open 7 days a week in the summertime. I believe that's really after Memorial Day. Yeah. I haven't memorized all the hours.
That's okay.
But then in Coltsville, in Hartford, we have a couple of staff who are working down there, and we have a mobile van that they're going off and really joining in with other activities in the city, outdoor activities, and just raising awareness. And in the past couple of years, we've had a ranger do, you know, sort of your traditional walking tours of the neighborhood and really talking about that history. So I think right now it's really more awareness for those folks who didn't realize what an important historic area they live in.